So, welcome back to Coach Enya Blood of Our podcast. So, I have Ciara Rossi on my podcast this week. And if you've been living under a rock, I was on her podcast a few weeks ago. So, we did a little swap. I'll be on yours, you'll be on mine. And this time we're not in the same room. We're actually on different time zones as well because you're over in Miami, aren't you?
Crazy, it's like only 11 o'clock here now, and yous are like nearly finishing your day, are yous?
Yeah, it's at like 4:10 now, yeah, in the afternoon.
My head, the time zones at the minute are just everyone's just all on different time zones, but I can't complain, can I?
How are you finding it? Because I was talking to you today, and I imagine when you move to a different country, it feels like Christmas week where you just forget what day it is, what time it is, what people are doing, what you're supposed to be doing.
Do you know what? When I arrived, I the first thing I was like, right, I need to get through this airport because like they ask at the airport like who are you here with, and I'm like by myself. Everyone's with like I don't really see many people here by themselves. Like people are out running and stuff, but like the first few days when you're here and you're like, wait, where am I? How do I even find my way around? I had no 3G. Oh my God, I was just like I can't. And then I was like, you know what, I just have to go with it, and if I get lost, I get lost. You just ask someone and they just say it's back up that way or whatever. But it's honestly, I'm only here a few days. Sleep is, oh my God, the sleep was all over the place. I'm up and down. I was ready to start my day at about 3 o'clock. But I love it so far. It's amazing.
But you know, like that thing where you were saying you go up to people and you ask them, like, oh, what way is this? Like, that would hold a lot of people back from traveling because they're going over on their own. They're like, oh no, I'd be scared to go up to someone and ask them for direction. And like, it might seem huge at the time, but I mean, it's literally how you get around and how you become independent. I mean, do you remember getting lost as a child in a shopping centre? And you had to ask, like, how do I find my mammy? Like, you have to grow up at some stage.
Do. And it's the first, if you do it once, it's just like, sorry, do you know where this is? And they're like, yeah, of course. And then no one is, some people might walk past you and not even take their earphones out because some people are a little bit like, they'll either be rude or else they're probably afraid as well. But when you just ask, I just ask everyone, and the minute you talk, they're like, where is that accent from? And I'm like there's not that many Irish. The girl yesterday in the gym was like, you have to bring your passport or ID. And she was holding my passport and she was like, sorry, sorry. And I was like, what the hell? Like, she was like, I've never seen an Irish passport. This is so cool. And I was like, it's just a passport.
It's like a
Like,
privilege being Irish, isn't it? Like, I remember we were over in Vegas, me and my friends, and we couldn't find a charger for the life of us. The one that we had wasn't working. And my friend is like so common. Like, and she went down to the security guard in the lobby of the hotel and she was like, where do I find one of those charger cables? And your man was like, I'm sorry. And she's like, the charger cables, you're getting deals. And he was like, yeah, but.
honestly,
Oh, but
never
what's the
chat
gin?
like
What's
that.
yeah, no, she doesn't enunciate when she speaks. But come here anyway, I just wanted to give a quick background on yourself, Ciara, just for people who are listening and may have not come across you because I've been following you a good while now and you're obviously in the fitness industry longer than me. But just give a brief rundown about yourself and how you actually got into the fitness industry.
Yeah, so my name is obviously Ciara Rossi. I'm from Dublin, for anyone that doesn't know, North Dublin. So I think you're over the south side, are you? Are you on the other side? Are you North Dublin?
Southwest, yeah, Clondalkin.
Yeah, so I'm over near the north side, and I have always been an Irish dancer, and that was kind of where my sporty kind of activeness and hobbies and stuff like that came from. So I've danced since like the age of 3, and we were always in like some sort of hobby, whether it was an after school thing or whether it was actually just going to dance in our competitions. Like we were never really like out on the streets, say, like playing around. Like we would play around and stuff, but even after when I was growing up and going to kind of secondary school, I was still in. I have always had a routine, and I've always kind of had that since a very young age. And I was only chatting to my mom about this, and I think this is where my structure comes in and why I kind of strive towards things. I'm a quite competitive person. But having that since I was in a young age, that's where a lot of my drive and looking back on things have come from, with like, this is what time I go to bed at, this is when my bath was, this is when I was getting up in the morning, this is when dancing was, that's kind of really stood to me. So when I was in school, I went to a very kind of posh school, you could say, and everyone was like doing all these on their CEO. I didn't even know how to fill out a CEO, and I remember going down to the guidance counselor. And she was like, "No, Kira." And I was like, "Right, she is going to shun me down." I knew straight away. She was like, "We need to really be realistic about this now." And I was like, "Right, so you're basically saying that I'm not going to get what I'm going to get." Because I was always at dancing. I had a part-time job. Like I was working since a really young age, that I hadn't, it's not that I didn't have time to study. I was smart. Like, I still passed all my exams. I was really good in school, but I never, like, I wasn't the book noodle. Like, I didn't have like the top of the tier of like, these were going for, like, everyone was Trinity, or they were going for like really high colleges. And I wanted to do something sporty, so I went for like physio, and I obviously didn't get the points for that, so I ended up doing a PLC, and that's where everything kind of started. Like, I done sports science, anatomy and physiology, and you do your fitness instructor course and everything in there. And you know what, that people like kind of turn their noses down at courses like that, and they're like, oh, you're doing like a PLC, and I'm like, yeah. And they're like, all right, did you not get your points? And I'm like, that PLC changed my life. Like, that PLC was the best thing I could have done. I had the best crack with the people that were in the course. My tutors were like, this is what you can do next. I went and done a physical therapy course. They showed me how to fill out things. I learned more in that PLC in that year than I probably would have done in a course over 5 years. And honestly, like, if you are kind of confused, you didn't get the point, don't be disheartened, because there's always a different route that take you, and you'll get to where you want to be. And I think that's kind of where everything just evolved from me. I went on tour with the dancing, and when I came back, I was like, oh, I'll work in a gym. And that's where it all started. So when I started working in the gym, now this wasn't working in a gym what I thought it was going to be. This was like cleaning toilets, pulling hair out of the sink, like bringing these bins out. And I was like, I can't bring them bins out at this time. Like, it's too late. And then the showers and all. And it was just not what I expected it to be. So teaching classes was where I found my passion. Like, I just loved people coming in, getting a good buzz. Everyone was excited, had my music on. And that's where I found I was at my happiest. People leaving, telling me how much they enjoyed it, seeing their bodies change. And I was like, this is what I want to do. So that's kind of where it all started.
And it kind of happened by accident. Like, I'm sh n not by accident, but you think, oh, well, this is probably just the route I'm gonna have to go down. And then, you actually end up loving it. And imagine you had have like went for something else in your CEO form and you were like, oh, no, I'll just take this because I'm not gonna do that PLC course. I feel like I'm taking a step back per se. Like, but like you said, if you don't get it the first way, there's balloons popping up on the screen there. I don't know what happened there, but if you don't get it the first way, there's always an alternative way. I remember I went to do a radio course as a PLC course, and they said to me, "You don't have the voice for radio." And 10 years later, I end up working in radio. Like, if there's a will, you will find a way. And I know a lot of young people listening will think that they have to have their life figured out in their early 20s. And sometimes people are in their 30s by the time they find a passion.
Yeah, it's okay as well. And like, I had down that I wanted to be a nurse. I can't even go into a hospital. Like, I actually, like, my friend was, her skin was at her a while ago, and she was like, listen, she was like, I'm not even gonna ask you to come in with me. She was like, I'm good. She was like, but I really think that you will be traumatized if you step inside there. And I was like, I actually wanted to be a nurse and work in a hospital. I thought I did. I hadn't got a clue what I was doing. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I think I wanted to be a teacher because I loved the organization of the notebook and the pens on the table. Like, I loved that. I was like, I'd have a desk. Like, that was where my head was at. I had no clue what I wanted to do.
And how important do you think routine is in when it comes to fat loss and, a goal? Like, I just think routine is so important because if you're someone who wakes up, and I say it all the time, and tries to wing the day when you have a goal, like, you're just setting yourself up for failure. It's just a disaster. It's a disaster waiting to happen.
Not happening. I think win the morning, win the day. And I even feel like now, if my morning doesn't get off to a good enough start, and I don't have that kind of, just those small little non-negotiables that I do every morning, the day is going slower. I'm not getting the things done that I need to do. I'm procrastinating. I'm not inspired. I'm just flat. And that's kind of what happens from the get-go. And what I would say to people is, what do you do? Just, I know people are like, well, like, what else am I going to do? Like, if you pick that phone up first thing in the morning and you start scrolling on social media and something triggers you off, naturally your brain and everything that goes on in that pathway is fired up before you even touch a coffee and a bit of caffeine. So what I would say is, like, a scattered mind, scattered brain is going to be a scattered life. And I notice with clients when they come, like, I work on the basics. I'm like, okay, well, let's just look at like the small things that you do every day. And they want to jump to the food and the training. And I'm like, no, that's not even a thing right now, because we're a mess. Like, it's all over the place. So I'm old school. I love a pen and paper. Some people like using apps, some people like to use notes on their phone. I've got girls that do tick lists on their phone. But I always say, what gets written down gets done. Do not set yourself a big task list every day and be like, oh, didn't get anything done off that. Start with small things. Like, first thing in the morning, my thing is I'll open up the blinds, I'll write and do my journaling, I'll have water, and then I'll have my coffee. And that, for me, those tiny little things, that gives me the few minutes of the day to just refresh, just wind down. Some people don't like to do anything, but if you get up and you see your alarm, you've snoozed it, you're rushing on, and you just can't take a deep breath, your nervous system is so fired up that it's just like, oh, can't do this, can't do that. Oh, do you know what? Just start tomorrow. But then tomorrow comes and you've kind of had to play catch up on what happened yesterday. That the week is a domino, and this is why people are on these, they're on auto drive all the time. That's just like, sometimes when you pull it back to the basics, it's actually not the meal plan, your coach, your training, because to be honest, they're actually the easy things. And I know people will say the food is hard. I agree, it can be hard sometimes for anyone that's coming from maybe a place where food is comfort, or even binge eating or emotional eating, totally get that. But when you look at the small little things in the habit, sometimes it comes down to boredom or stress and overwork. And so it's just the finding that balance and kind of spotting out in someone's routine. I might say to some of my clients, like, can you go through step by step every single day what to do? They're like, all right, yeah. And then they're like, okay, all that time there, do you know what? That actually makes sense. So it's just about slowing down and just looking at every day and saying, what can I do? And it might mean planning out the night before or the week before. And if you don't tick everything off, that's okay. Carry it into next week, carry it into the next day, but your non-negotiables have to be there for yourself.
I totally agree. Like I even try to get my clients to, you know, what's in your presses and your fridge? Okay, why don't you plan your meals, log them into your phone, pre-track? Because if you're already stressed with work and your kids, and then you have to sit down and think, what am I going to cook for myself now with 15 minutes notice? And then you think about calories and this and that. And you know, you came to me for a service to drop body fat, and then all of a sudden that's the last thing on your list because you're not organizing everything else, and you're not making your life easier. Like I always say, could you carry on this routine for the rest of your life? And if it's hectic and it's causing you stress, it's not gonna last.
It's definitely not. And you know yourself, like, when you're on prep, even you've got a load of cardio to do. You have to have those meals ready, because if not, like, there actually is no time to make them. So imagine people, I applaud any women that are have running families and have a family that they can do this as well, because you are
Oh, stop.
superwoman. Like, you know who I absolutely love and shout out to her. She's an inspiration. She actually, Danielle Hickey, do you know her?
Yeah, I know her.
A shout out to her. Like, she's just one of many amazing women that really lean into those extra few minutes in the morning are her time. They're that them 30 minutes to someone means a lot. So if there's a lot of carnage that goes on in your house in the mornings, and that's what happens in houses, and not every house has to be like, it's quiet and no one's awake. And like, I'm living here in an apartment, there's no one here to distract me. I have zero excuses. But if you have kids or someone that jumps up at the same time, maybe looking at like a few minutes extra early before anyone is even awake. And it might mean going to bed a little bit earlier, but like, the majority of us are probably sitting down anyways, binge watching telly anyway in the evening. So maybe taking a few minutes back off that, watching one episode instead of 10, not being exhausted and working on your sleep, because that's a huge thing.
When I see women do photo shoot preps or step on stage and they also have a full-time job and kids, and I'm like, there's sometimes women that come for me and they're just like, oh, it's so easy for you, you know, you work for yourself and you don't have kids, you don't have a family. And then I look at people like Danielle Hickey and I'm like, but it can be done. You just have to find the approach that suits you. You're looking at me and thinking you have to copy my approach because I have like, you know, X amount of time, etc. But I had to find an approach that suited me because I couldn't copy off Kira's lifestyle. That wouldn't suit me. Do you know what I mean? It's, but they don't look at the finer details, and that comes down to organization. Like you said, with prep, you literally have to be so organized when you wake up, when you're going to do your cardio, when you're going to do your steps. It has to be regimental, like military schedule.
For sure, it does. But you know what? It's people will get a fright now when they hear that they're like, how do you live like that? Like that's got like a lot. And it's like, trust me, like when you get flow and you get moving and things
Yeah.
go to plan, or if they don't go to plan, you can just pick yourself back up after your next meal and it's okay. It's self-control at a level that you can't even explain. When you don't have self-control and you don't have a direction, or you, as I said, like you're scattered, it's game over for the day, and you're just having to really wing and get through the day, just push through everything and then catch up and start tomorrow again when it's probably just going to be still there and built back up even more.
I think it's people who get into the habit of thinking the worst case scenario, or they're looking at the mountain peak constantly and they're like, oh, I've just taken a step back. Now it's going to add an extra week onto my journey and I can't do it. I'm like, you've probably been alive for like maybe 10,000 weeks. Like, can you, and you're probably going to be alive for another 10,000 weeks. Like, it's 1 hour of the day that you just had a hiccup. Like, pick yourself back up. And all those hours that, you get back up, or all those meals where you get back on track, they compound, but they're not looking at the bigger picture at that stage. They're just spiraling. And, what would you say to someone in that position when they are spiraling? If you had a client who's, had a hiccup and they're just thinking, right, that's it, I've messed it up, I'm just, what's the point carrying on?
Yeah, you know, I think people are so disappointed in themselves, and it's actually not about anyone else, it's about themselves. They're just so disappointed and disgusted that they've done this, and it's like, I've fallen off track, I've done this, I've, and it's like, you know what, it's okay, like this happens, life happens. I always say to my girls, life happens, and they're like, oh my God, are you not human? And I'm like, absolutely not. I'm like, no, I'm not human. I'm like, I'm actually so proud that you text me, you opened up, you spoke about it. Let's go now from the next meal. And they're like, yeah, I know, but like it's 5 o'clock. Like, I just feel like I've ruined everything. I'm like, no, you have your next meal. What about your next meal? Well, do you know what? I'm gonna go to the shops. They pick themselves right back up and they just go again. And it's, I think people think it has to be the next day or it has to be Monday. Absolutely not. If you are waiting for Monday to start, you're never gonna start. Ever, ever, ever. Why does it have to be a fresh week? Why does it have to be a fresh day? It can be the next hour, the next minute, right now, what we're doing. It can be that. So I think it's just about really kind of trying to switch your mindset. And that's a very, very hard thing to do because your subconscious is telling you you're a failure. It's telling you are like, forget about it now. Here we go again. Well done. And there's a little shadow over your shoulder just clapping, saying, haha, told you. And then you're nearly proving to yourself, you know what? I knew that was going to happen. Whereas flick it off. I always think of it as like a little person on my shoulder. I just like flick it off. I'm like, bye. Sorry, not today. And we're going to move on. So it might sound a little bit mad and it might sound like that, but your mind controls everything. And I always say as well, sometimes it works with people, journal on it, write it down, put it in a piece of paper and be like, I done this and I felt like that. And you know what? It probably didn't make me feel good. So next time you go back, you reflect on it and you go, that did not make me feel good. I'm not going to do that to myself again. Because at that time, the instant regret and the next day when the scale is up and the water on your body and you're feeling so uncomfortable, people are honestly devastated and they just feel so down. It's like, you know what? Life happens, people. Like, don't pick on the small things in life. We could die in the next hour. And, you know, like, there's so many worse things that are going on in the world. You're healthy. You're happy, you've got a family, friend, you've a roof over your head. Look at the small little things and say, right, do you know what? It's okay. It's okay. I'm gonna just start again now, from right now, not from tomorrow or Monday, from now.
And it's, like you said about that, like kind of the devil on their shoulder being like, oh, I knew this, knew you wouldn't last and stuff, like it's their subconscious, because they've conditioned themselves so much to just not have any self-belief, that they're not capable of doing anything. They fail everything that they start because they're basing it on past experience. And it's like, okay, well, why don't you just accept that this is how you're going to live now? Don't be putting a means to an end on it or a time limit and being like, if this is how I live now, well, of course everything's not going to be perfect. Like, I always love to say to my clients, did you actually think that if you stuck to this from now until the end of your life, you were never going to go over your calories, that you were never going to miss a workout? Like, let's be realistic here, and time's going to pass regardless. So are you going to spend that wallowing in self-pity, thinking I'm a failure, I'm this and that, or are you going to spend it contributing to the good habits and actually getting somewhere down the line?
Oh yeah, 100%. And just on something there as well that just came to mind, sometimes it's actually not this little person that's on your shoulder or your subconscious. Sometimes it is the people that are around you.
Support systems, yeah.
Oh, and it's always sometimes people that are closer to you. Like you might have your mom or someone at home saying, "Oh, here we go now, another program, another diet, is it? Is that what you're doing?" And then they're like, "Oh, right, I shouldn't have told them I'm doing it." Or some girls would say, "I just want to keep this quiet." And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, is there a reason? Like, why? And they're like, I just feel like I have tried so many things, and every time I tell someone I'm doing it, I just don't do it. So I just want to keep it to myself for a while. Absolutely fine. Everyone's business is their own. But it's like, you know, straight away someone has been doubted. They're being told, you again, you doing this again? Oh my God, here we go again. You know, so I just think be careful of what you're listening to as well. If you know deep down, I'm gonna try this time, and you're meant to fail. You're meant to fail so many times. You're meant to have days where you overeat. You're meant to have days where you go out and you drink and your weight's back up the next day, or you can't get yourself back on track. You're on your cycle, you're overeating. These are part of life. It's meant to happen. Do you know what I mean? And it's like focus on progress and small little things and your habits and not perfection, because it doesn't exist.
But that's why, like, that's so true, like, here, because that's where you learn from your mistakes and that's where you grow and become better at it. Because if you're just taking, say, a pill to make it happen instantly, you're not learning the habits, you're not dealing learning how to keep the weight off, you're not learning about yourself, you know, you're not learning how to implement things into your life and systems, etc. So when you do actually lose the weight, you can cope by yourself. And when you said, like, that people can have sometimes, you know, negative voices in their ear. But your coach isn't a negative voice, and sometimes the coach is the only person you have that actually believes in you and wants to pull potential out of you. And even though you might think, oh, these are a pain in the whole effort of doing this check-in, and you know, but they actually are the only person who believes that you could do it, even if you don't believe in yourself.
Yeah, definitely. It's the critics and the things that you don't want to hear sometimes that hurt the most. And it's like they're the things that will push on to become better and be stronger as well.
I sometimes say to clients, you know, if like it's been 3 weeks in and they're still kind of like keeping up the bad habits and stuff, I'm like, well, the good news is we can maintain your weight if we keep up, if we keep up these habits. And you know, I can log on every week and you know, this is 10 minutes of my time that are just going to be nice and easy for me. And you know, you're wasting your money, and I don't want you to waste your money. You came to me for a service and I want to help you, because the way you were doing it beforehand wasn't working. So let's try do it my way and see what happens. And then they kind of like get a wake up call that like she's actually right. Like, why am I hiring her? I'm basically doing what I was doing before she came along.
It's crazy, and that's what, as I said, that's what we're here for. This is what we're here for. We want to know what is it that's triggering you. Why are you not able to actually do it? Is it does it not work for you? Are you not enjoying it? Just communicate, like, and say it to, because that's what's going to get you there. That's what's going to get you that little step forward.
So you recently only came off stage as well, and you did a photo shoot. How did you find that? Was that your first time competing on stage?
Yeah, first time ever and last time
Really?
ever.
Yeah, you wouldn't do it again.
No, like I absolutely loved it. I cannot say anything bad about it, honestly. I know people are like, what? And I'm like, I'm not going to be a competitive bodybuilder, right? So I don't see the point in putting my body through that again. I've done it once. I've proved to myself, you've done it. You walk the walk, you challenge yourself. I've done the shoots, and I just felt like I wanted that extra push. And I've always kind of looked at stage and been like, I think I'd like to do it. And I always know if you say something in your head like, I think I might want to do that, you probably do. It's just something that's holding you back, and it's fear. So mine was fear of like, oh God, like I can kind of like, I'm bang on like with my food. I've been eating well for years. It's what I do. It's just a lifestyle. It's not a diet. It's just my life. And I was like, will that lifestyle that I have to be pulled from me? And that was what I was like, like obviously I'm going back to Dubai in January. That's when prep would start. Like there's no beach clubs, nothing like that. Like I do like to go for like a little bit of sushi or go for a meal off plan and just enjoy it. Like that's what I like to do, because I can do that. I'm in control, but I knew that that would have been all gone. So I was like, right, I was like, I can do that. I was like, I'm locking myself in anyways for like 6 months of the year at the very start of 2024. Like that was one of my goals. I was like, I really want to push forward. So I was like, why not do that and bring myself alongside? I had so many people say to me, oh, well, I didn't think you'd do that. Oh my God, shock to the system. You said you'd never do it. And I'm like, you don't need to worry about what I'm doing. I done that for me and no one else. It wasn't to prove to coach, nothing like that. Like I took on that challenge for me and I learned so much about myself along the way. But what I would say is like the reason I am kind of like wouldn't do it again, that's why I rule it out straight away, is because it's not sustainable. And I do think if you've never dieted before or even done a photo shoot prep, I don't think that you should be putting yourself through something like that, because trust me, I struggled post and I'm a very, very strong mentality. Like I can take a lot and I feel like I was very disciplined, and I that's why I was like, I didn't really have the fear of after. Loads of people are like, oh God, it's the fear after. But I struggled with the food. I was just, it was so hard after, like it really was. And that was the hardest thing. And I'm like, if I'm a strong person like that, how would the gem pop? And someone that has never dieted rebound from this, it would be game over. And that's how I can see how people explode, how people end up being 10 kg heavier 2 weeks later. Like that's traumatizing to someone that's lost a lot of weight and is in a lean position. And even right now, for me, like I'm training back now. I've got my food there and I want to keep cardio in because I enjoy it. And he was like, okay. He was like, that's fine. We're going to slowly reverse out. So I'm like 6, 7 weeks out post and my weight is like up about 2.5 kg and that's fine. And that's where I sit. I haven't even touched the weighing scales. I don't really care about it. I don't even have one here with me. But it was like, right. If that's how I kind of reacted, and if that's how I wasn't rebounding, but for the standard that I hold myself to, it was dropping. And I was like, how is this happening right now? And it was just super hard. So I just think it's a big decision that you need to make with yourself.
I think it's very easy. I think it's very easy for people to look at us and think, oh, like the body on hold, I'd love to do that, but they're not seeing the struggle behind the camera, or the mental struggle as well. And like you said, the post shoot, because it's an element of extreme restriction. And we harp on to like clients being like, stop this all or nothing approach, like cutting out everything and like going from 0 to 100. But that's what a photo shoot prep or separate on stage is, except like we're obviously more experienced and we've built the mental resilience over the years by doing multiple calorie deficits. But we experience what clients experience after their extreme restriction periods too, like the binging and stuff like that happens to the best of us. And it's having like that in our dialogue and checking in with yourself. Like I had a lasagna and chips with my friends like the second night, I think, when I was done a photo shoot prep, and I'm like, I'm not even hungry, but I want another one of these right now. Like I want another dessert, and it's scary. It's like a demon getting out of a cage, and it's you need some self-control. And like you said, imagine someone who's not used to that, and then 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, it could easily lead to an eating disorder. It could.
Yeah, big time. And like that there, you can't explain it, right? It's like you tell yourself, your head is telling you, you've been dieting for so long, relax. But your body and your insides cannot take it. Like, think about what we've been eating: clean almond butter, veggies, asparagus, chicken. We have not changed our food in 16 weeks. So you go and spike the system with a load of salt and a load of sugar, you're gonna naturally hold water. So Adam was like, here, relax. Right. So obviously we've got same coach. He is the best in the business, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And he was like, shout out. And he was like, Kara, think about it like this. It was like a dry sponge. You were really drying out. You were right at the end and you went and just put a load of water into the body and it's water. He was like, it's not weight right now. But for me, I actually, the day after, or the morning of the day after the show, we went for breakfast. And I was like thinking, sitting there, I had my food and I was like, right, okay. I was like, what'll I go for? And then I was like, I'll go for whatever. And then afterwards we went and we had like a little bakery thing. And the night before that, we had the meal out, and that was gorgeous, and I couldn't stop. I genuinely was sitting like that. I was falling asleep at the table because the burger killed me off that much. So think about what you're doing every week when that shit feel comes into your body, how hard it is to break you down. People wonder why they're so tired all the time. I was falling asleep at that table. Like the girls were like, you need to go home, don't you? And I was like, obviously between the whole day of the show, but it just showed how sore my body was. See my lower back with the water retention. Oh my God. And you better believe that I didn't stop eating when I got home. Like I did not stop. I was disgusted with myself. The girls got me like a treat bag and there was jellies in it. And I was like, I've had like my savory, I've had my sweet. I actually don't want anything. And the hand went in that bag in the middle of the night while everyone was asleep. And I just kept going and going and going. And at one point, I was like that in the bed, pulling the bag after doing my teeth and everything. And I was like, you are being a gut right now. I was like, it's disgusting. And I was getting sick and all that night. And I woke up and I was like, oh my God, I was vomiting over the toilet for about 20 minutes. So it goes to show my body couldn't stop it. My brain was like, keep going. You want this. This feels good. The feeling that I was getting out of it was like an addiction. It was disgusting. It was horrible.
Yeah, it's like I wouldn't say like this is much of a comparison, but imagine like an alcoholic or a drug addict not having it for like so much or so much of time, and then they taste it for the first time, and all of a sudden their body's gone through like this euphoric feeling, and it's like there it is, we've missed this, and it's but and you know what's funny? Before we had done the photo shoot or done or you stepped on stage, you wouldn't think like that on any other normal day. You're like, I'd never put away this amount of food. I'd have self-control, and that just goes to show that when you put your body through something like that for so long, it's crazy. It's a weird feeling. It is. Even the people with the most self-control, like people kept saying to me, I don't know how you did it, Anya. I don't know how you had the discipline. But I'm like, yeah, but I struggled afterwards. And thankfully I've started to come out of it now. But how did you feel though, come down wise? Did you feel like I've been looking forward to this? I've been building my life around it for so long, and now it's just over.
Do you know what? I think a lot of people are like that as well after a holiday or working towards something, and even the photo shoot preps. It's like, oh, you're a little bit like people feel a little bit deflated. But I always say, no. This is fun. Like this is exciting. You've got a whole new program. Your food is being brought up. You can go out and do whatever you want. You're energized. I'm like, what's next? So like you're able to train hard. I'm working towards building now some glutes. I'm running. I'm gonna challenge myself. So I always think there's always the next level and the next step to anything you do. Look for something else now. And it's not, people are like, ah, oh, you need to slow yourself down now. Relax. Take a little bit of time. I don't need time. I've had my time. But I think my prep was the excitement, was the journey. It was those 16 weeks
Yeah.
of body change training. You know what it's like. You're like, what is going on right
That's
now?
the
Where
best part, I think. The photo shoot was just a cherry on top.
oh, you're just like that journey of like seeing your body change and looking at yourself in the mirror and being like, where did them muscles come from? Like I actually was like, whoa. At one point at the end, I was like, I was like, that's getting a bit freaky. Like, but then afterwards, it's the I don't feel as lean. Right. Okay. I've literally come to the terms with it in my head that I am not going to be walking around dice all year round. I hold myself to a very high standard that it's like I want to be sitting at this elite level all the time. But elite level for me is totally different for anyone else. So it's like, right. Okay. I can walk around and still feel like that. I love what I eat. It's just about self-control now. My routine is locked in. People are kind of asking me here as well, like, where are you going for dinner? Like, what are you doing for your food? Like, I am happy out in my apartment. I'll go exploring, but I love my meals. If I'm going out for lunch or something, I'll pick something off the menu. And that's something I'm going to document along the way. How can you decide after post-workout that, you know what, I'm actually going to go over and I'm going to have that chicken and potato salad right now after my dinner? How do I track that and continue the day and just get back to my dinner meal later? Because that's something that people can't do.
Yeah, it's consistency, and it's thinking as well, Kira. Like, you need to have balance in your life. Like, you need like what's the point being in that shape if you can't enjoy life as well? Like, what's the point being like that all year round if you can't go for a meal, with your family and friends? Like, that's what life is all about. And it's great get compliments and stuff like that, and oh, you look amazing, you look this, but it's important to I was always transparent with myself. Like, I won't look like this all year round. I probably won't even look like this a day after the shoot. Like, it's literally like an art. It's the art of bodybuilding, and I think that, like you said, there's also going to be many other milestones in life, and I have to keep telling myself that that's going to give you the same sensation. You're not only going to get that sensation from looking ripped.
Sure, for sure. Like, and now I'm sure now this week going into your sessions, you're going in and you're like, I am so strong right now. Like, I feel so good. My last session, I was like a zombie. Like, I was really confused in every session that I was just like, wow. I think Jade was like, at one point, every time I had like my first meal, I was like, crash. And then she
Yeah.
was like, Mom, here's a can, have me can, and then I'm crash again. And I was like, that is not okay. That is not right on my body. I was really struggling with a lot of things and I just kept going. And then after the prep, that's when I crashed. Like, and it wasn't straight away after. It was like 2 weeks after I really crashed. I had so much going on that I was like, I can do all of this. Busy is better. Busy was not better. Busy burnt me out to a crit. Like, I couldn't think straight. I was just so out of sorts that it wasn't a good time. But now, thankfully, I'm in my routine again. That's what I thrive off. That's what I love. So if you love something, you don't need to change something that's not broken, you know? And my routine's not broken, and it's what I love and it's what I thrive off. And if it works for me, great. And you need to just find that for yourself as well.
Even the week off training, like I went back to cardio yesterday and I was like, I had a new pair of legs because of the lactic acid build up in the body. Like for those last 4 weeks, it was like I was battling through pain and I just felt, I went to the 5K this morning and everything. And like, I was like, imagine if I tried to do this 2 weeks ago. Oh, I'd be like, I'd have to be scraped off the ground. Like I'd be, you know, that type of pain where you felt like getting sick.
And you would not even make it through okay. You wouldn't have been able to, like, you've literally, people don't understand, you have nothing left. Like, you're empty, you have no soul. It's left your body, hasn't it?
And how you obviously have a very successful business, like you're building an empire, and I love your fits as well. Like when we did the podcast together, you gave me a lovely outfit and it fit like a glove, and I love that color as well. I felt very patriotic in my green fit. How did that all start? Because how did you juggle running an empire nearly, and like, you know how time consuming a prep is, like how did you, and again how routine is so important and, you know, time management and stuff, but now you obviously have time back, and I've realized that myself that you can focus it into your work and stuff like that. But how did you manage that? Like, you know, juggling an empire and doing a prep at the same time?
You know, this was something that I also held myself back from doing the prep. I always thought, you know what, like I won't be able to push with business. I've got a mentor myself and with Mark Hold and with nearly 2 years. Now we were chatting about that last time online. But he puts a lot of things into perspective for me, not just my therapist and what I do on the side and my coach. He really puts things into a different light for me to be like. He said to me, like I said, like I want to do this. And he was kind of like, oh, like I didn't think, like a lot of people were like, oh, I didn't think that that's what you would do. Or I was so focused, and I still was so focused on driving the business, sales, building a team, hiring new staff. These staff don't just get hired, by the way, and they don't just come into the business. They get trained 3 and 4 times a week. There's team calls. I run everything from the top. And at the last couple of weeks of my prep, I don't do that much outside of prep, okay? And training and eating and working on what I'm doing at the minute. I really don't. And I know people might think that is crazy, but I just want to be honest with people that like this is what I live for, this is what I do, and it makes me so happy that anything I do outside of like maybe a little bit of socializing or going to like a pool club or taking a little bit of time off, I love that because I come back refreshed and downtime gives you uptime. So like that's what I do like to recharge. I don't like to just have constant work all the time because it is important. But when I took this on, I knew coming towards the end, I sat down with my team when I was in Dubai. I was 6 weeks out and things started to build up. And I was like, no, I was like, you are not weak. You can keep going. You can keep doing this. And I had tasks from a mentor that we were running with a lunch. I had these two new girls that I was after hiring that I couldn't even really think straight, that I was just like, right, okay. So I remember sitting down on Monday call, and I just said to them, we need to work together even more than ever. And they were kind of looking at me, and I remember having a lump in my throat. Because I don't really say what goes on behind closed doors. And at that time, I was basically going through a breakup, like 6, 7 weeks out. I was starting to sink, and I was like, this ship is not holding up any longer. I was like, it's going down. And thankfully, I have the best support system. My coaches on my team and my sales team, my setters, everyone, like we're the best of friends ever. And they said to me, right, you take a few days off. We're gonna do everything. We've got it under control here. Get yourself off Slack. Don't be worrying. We've got group chat sorted. We're gonna sort out all the calls, And they took literally like 90% of the weight off me, that the 10% was just like, five was just getting my shit done. And then the other five was my emotional side that couldn't keep up. And I just thought that I was bulletproof, that I just keep going. And the prep was a blessing in disguise as well. But coming back down to like how I done it all, it's choice. And it sounds, everything that I say sometimes sounds, it can sound a little bit sometimes blunt, or it can either come across as, well, you have all the time in the world, you don't have this, you don't have that. Like when you run a team and when you run a business like this, and a clothing company as well, by the way, like it is all go. Like every hour of my day is like filled with inspiration, my own training, buying myself back time, fueling my body with good foods, and literally looking at things on social media if I'm on my phone that I want to see. I've got anything else muted, and it's not out of, oh my God, I don't like that person. It's like I want to be able to see what I want to see on my explore page, and it has been a game changer. So with the prep side of things, it's like we all have the same amount of hours in the day. What do you do with them? How do you actually do this? And when I was chatting to Mark, he said to me, like, I can't believe you're a week out. You're on this sales call right now. You're learning. You're planning your next launch. He was like, I've never seen this before. He was like, this is a 1% of the population that you're doing right now. And when he said that to me, I was like, oh my God. I was like, I have done all of this because I was on autopilot. I couldn't even think straight. But it's like sometimes when you're running a business, you really have to take on everything and crash before you actually take someone else in and put your hand out and say, can you help me? Because your business is your baby. But if you want success, and if you want to, and to live a life that you've never lived yet, you really have to do things outside of your comfort zone. You're not living your normal day-to-day life anymore. So I think for the prep and the business, you just have to be ready for like literally nothing but them two things.
It's the same with in terms of sacrifice. Like if you make sacrifices with the prep, and then you have to make sacrifices to run a business that you want to be able to live off for the rest of your life. Do you know what I mean? Like you can't. I'm such a big believer in this because I've done it for most of me life, me teenage years, me 20s, half arse and shit, and seeing no return on it. And just because I wanted the easy way out, I wanted to be comfortable. And I said to myself one day, what if I just don't give up? You know, what if I actually have a growth mindset instead of a fixed mindset all the time? Because again, you are a product of your environment, and if you are surrounding yourself with people who just half-ass shit all the time and just want the easy way out and want comfort all the time, that's gonna rub off you. But and you said it there about the people that you follow on your Instagram or your social media. Like I have to mute certain people, like I unfollow certain people, you know, I try to alter the algorithm as well. Because I'm like, why are videos like this being shown to me? This is not who I am anymore. You know, like people going out and just getting pissed and stuff. I'm like, oh God, like I remember that used to be me. That's not me anymore. Why am I watching these videos?
Yeah. And it when you do that though, and like the things that you wake up to, if you are going on your phone, you click in, you're like, love that, save that. Like my Instagram at the minute is just saved with like
Yeah.
maybe like people that are speaking about different things, a podcast that I want to watch, I'm gonna go back in and do this, or like I love like your type of stuff, like humor that makes me laugh. So if I'm in a bit of a humor where I'm just like, oh, I'll click in, I'll have a little giggle, and that made me feel good. So it's what makes you feel good, and I love the way you share stuff like that, because people like to, we get to see what it would be like to experience coming to your show, how it would make you feel, the atmosphere. And I think energy is a lot, and when you get that energy through a reel, it's like that made me giggle. All right, I'm gonna go in and do another few. And like you get a moment where you're like, that made me feel so good, that made me feel happy. So it's like in co compare like put that there in comparison to say watching something where you're like, stupid, now why is his name on that post? Like, do you get me? Like me looking at, say, like say for example, when I was in a relationship, why is his name on that post? Like, why is your name there? So that's after triggering me and setting me off for the day. Whereas I'm looking at something really good here, I'm looking at things like growth mindset, maybe some inspirational talks or things that I want to go to, they inspire me. That gets me going. So you get to choose what you see every single day.
I think your social media can either be a toxic playground or it can be an inspirational one. And I find even with the Giza Laugh page versus the Coach Anya page, like the Coach Anya page, that's where my business mindset is. That's where the inspiration is. And don't get me wrong, like the Giza Laugh one is inspirational for, you know, other comedy stuff, like, oh, I have an idea now to make a TikTok, whatever. But also it's the page that like I follow like people in my personal life and like, you know, people I went to school with, people I used to work with, and it's more like a Facebook timeline. So yeah,
Yes.
the I think the Coach Anya one is more like the growth mindset, where you know the Giza Laugh is the funny one. But again, I used to do a marketing course, Kira, and people act on emotion, and you know, does it make them laugh? Does it make them sad? Has it touched them? You know, just so many different things. Has it upset them? You know, things can trigger people, like make them angry, and then that's not a good place to be either, you know, like.
No, definitely not. And if you have the choice and you can just click a little mute button up in the corner, it doesn't mean if you don't unfollow someone and you still might want to see something here and there, great. But like if you something is annoying you and you're like, hate that person, like why did they put something up like that? Like that content drives me mad. Well, that content is working for them and they really enjoy putting it up. So do yourself a favor and just mute, and it takes the stress away from being any sort of anger or resentment towards someone. We don't need that every day. Do and see what you want, okay? And that's choice as well. That's it, like I said, that you get to make. So why not make the choice something that's going to benefit you?
While we're on the subject of social media, and just to tie this one up, so the word comparison, a lot of people can look at like body transformations online. Why can't I look like that? And then, you know, I find I compare myself to like other people's careers, maybe. And, you know, I end up muting people because I'm like, oh, I feel like they are doing better than me, and that's impacting me negatively. So I'm just going to mute them because I feel like I'm hindering myself or holding myself back, or I'm not good enough. How do you feel, you know, or would you have any advice when it comes to like that kind of comparison syndrome?
So first of all, flip it. Okay, flip it. The minute you see it, think of a coin going up in the air, coming back down, before you even open your mouth, before you even think about how you're doing and why maybe you should be a little bit further ahead maybe than this person and why it's making you feel like that. So what I would say is flip it. Okay, do you know what? Fair play to her. She's actually doing deadly. What's she doing maybe that I'm not doing? I'm going to have a little look at that and I'm going to say, do you know what? That's inspiration. If she can do that, I can do that. So, first of all, flip it. Second of all, same thing, mute it. If it's something that's really making you feel shit, mute it and you don't need to see it. That's something that you can do very simply. And the third thing is, and it's a harsh and a deep one, you're probably insecure about something. So, if someone's body and someone's lifestyle and someone's success is making you feel inadequate, they're triggering you. You think they're a dope for putting up their abs or their glutes, and you say, you fucking idiot. Oh my God. Like, I can't believe that she's putting that up. Like, I'm sick of seeing that and her body, she drive me mad. Da, 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 da. You're insecure. You don't like something about yourself, because if you are fully happy and fully secure, you don't compare yourself. And guys, honestly, I compared myself for a long time as well. And I know people will probably be like, did you? And I'm like, yeah, I did. Like years ago, when I was only starting to come onto social media, I had a picture of like a few things on my screensaver. And one of them was a girl with abs in a pair of shorts. And like now I look back and I'm like, I'm that girl now. And I'm like, I molded into that, but I aspired to be like this person. I aspire to be like the people that are on my mood board because I look up to them. And you need to look at other people and say, hats off, give people credit where credit is due. Honestly, it feels so good to compliment you. It feels so good to give someone a like or a thumbs up, maybe on social media or passing in the street. I said to a girl this morning, she was out and she passed me by with her dog. Her dog is like this super friendly dog that has this weird personality. Honestly, I swear to God, this dog could just talk. Like, I see this dog coming along and I'm like, is he gonna say good morning or something to me? Like, she has like hair and all. Like, the dogs have personalities here. And I said to her, I was like, I love your gym outfit. I was like, you've got an amazing body. And she was like, wow. She was like, honestly, she was like, no one really ever like even passes me a compliment. And it's like, I could have compared myself to her and said, fuck's sake, like I'm post prep here. I don't really feel that good. Like, what am I doing? And looking at her and go back and put myself into this like little bubble of just negative talk. Like, if you're going to compare yourself to people, just flip the mindset. Mute if you don't want to, and then look at yourself and say, you know what, I'm insecure about that. I'm going to make a change. I'm sick of feeling like this, and I'm going to make sure that I'm secure. I love who I am. And if you don't love who you are, you can't expect your partner, you can't expect anyone else around you, your friends even, to love you for who you are. And I think you matter the most, and we neglect ourselves sometimes and just jump to what we see. And it's not all about what you see either, it's more about what's on the inside too. So before you compare yourself, just know that sometimes it's not picture perfect to what you see on the outside.
Yeah, and check in with yourself. Like, you're in charge of that inner dialogue. Like, don't depend on validation from outside sources. Like, validate yourself. It's okay to do that as well, and feed yourself positive affirmations. It doesn't have to be, but I'm sure that girl that made her day, because she's probably not used to getting outside validation, and it's and to be in that shape, I'm sure like she's had to have a lot of an inner dialogue and self-validation too, and having to check in with herself.
Yeah, and it's, as I said, it takes nothing to pass someone a lovely message, and I always appreciate anyone that reaches out to me. I'll probably even send them a message back or a voice note to be always like, honestly, like that has gone a long way, that you've gone out of your way to say to me that you want to do something like this now. Like girls say, I'd love to do a solo trip like that by myself, or you know what, I would love to do that, and you're an inspiration. So like, I think we need a little bit more love and happiness in the world, and people can just be a little bit kinder, because you just, if you're not kind to yourself either, like how can you be a good person? And we need more of that.
Yeah, I love that, Kira. I do. Look, you're absolutely doing amazing. I can't wait to follow your journey in Miami. Of all places in the world, like, that's probably one of the coolest places to live. You'd be like Will Smith now, you will.
Oh my
Welcome
God,
to
I swear to
Miami.
God, everyone is like, have you seen? I actually seen him. Mark Wahlberg, or what's his name? Mark Wahlberg, is it?
Yeah.
He was on the beach training, and I was like, what the hell is going on right now? Like, it's crazy, but it's so exciting. So I can't wait. Everyone is like, keep posting, share the stories, show us where you are. So I'm gonna keep them coming.
Fair play to you, work for you, deserve it. And yeah, I'm looking forward to watching your journey. But look, thanks so much for coming on, Kira. I know how much of a busy woman you are. And look, continue it. I hope you have all the success in the world. And I'll talk to you soon. I hope people enjoy this podcast. I know they're definitely going to get a lot of benefit from it.
Thank you so much for having me on, and I hope everyone loves it.